Good morning, TCC. I'm John. This is my wife, Yaliska, and we've been attending TCC for just over a year now. I will be reading the scripture in English, and Yaliska will be reading it in Afrikaans. Please stand for the reading of God's Word. Today we'll be reading from Hebrews 5, verse 11 to 6, verse 3. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance for the act that lead to death, and of faith in God, instructions about cleansing rites, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and the eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so.
In verband hiermee het ons baie te sê wat moeilik is om aan julle te verduidelik, aangesien julle so traag is om te leer. Hoewel julle teen hierdie tyd self reeds onderrig behoort te gee, het julle weer nodig dat iemand julle in die grondwaarhede onderrig. 'N mens moet julle met melk voed en nie met vaste kos nie. Iemand wat nog van melk lewe, kan nie saam praat oor dit wat reg of verkeerd is nie, want hy is nog 'n kind. Vaste kos is vir die groot mense, vir mense wat oor insig beskik en wat deur die ervaring geoefen is om tussen goed en kwaad te onderskei. Laat ons nie stil staan by die eerste dinge wat aangaande Christus verkondig word nie, maar verder gaan na die volle inhoud van die boodskap. Ons wil nie opnuut die fundament lê deur te praat oor die bekering uit 'n leefwyse wat tot die dood lei nie, of oor geloof in God, die leer van die doop en die handoplegging, die opstanding van die dooies en die ewige oordeel nie. Ons sal dus verder gaan as God dit toelaat. The word of the Lord.
Hey, good morning, TCC. What a great morning so far. It's a joy to be together. Yeah, please pray with me. Let's pray together. Yeah, Father God, we are just so blessed and encouraged this morning. Lord, thank you for our Palm Sunday celebrations, for the voices of those children just being raised in such a beautiful way. And God, as we turn our attention to your word this morning, we just invite your Holy Spirit just to help us to receive from you today all that you have for us. And God, as I speak, I just pray that you would give me clarity of thought and boldness in speech. Lord, help us to, just help us to receive, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, my wife and I started our marriage off living in Scotland. We lived there for about a year. And part of that time, we found out that there were issues with my visa, which resulted in us getting kicked out of Scotland, which was not part of our plan. And so I remember crash landing back in Edmonton. My wife and I, you know, we're basically newlyweds. We were only 20 years old at the time, so we got married young. And we're settling back into living in Edmonton, and I'm in a situation where I've never really had a job. I'd never really paid bills. You know, we crash landed at my parents' basement, right? And there's this overwhelming sense that I'm having is like, I need to get a job, right? That'd be like the right thing to do. So as we're trying to orient, my parents had a family friend who did renovations. And so they asked this guy, hey, would you be willing for Adam to come and work with you and just get some work going here? And he graciously said, sure, like, let's have Adam come and we'll see how it goes. And so I head out and I'm showing up at this job site with this gentleman, and you know, things are going well at the first part of the day, and at this one point he says, hey Adam, can you just run out to the truck and grab some drywall? My response to this question is, what is drywall? So if you know anything about a house, right, you should probably know what drywall is. And so here I am, this 20-year-old. I'm trying to impress this guy on my first day of work. And he's asking me to go get drywall, and I don't even know what drywall is. Now, the cool thing about this story is that as it unfolds, this gentleman looking at me saw in me some sort of potential. I don't know what that potential was. But looking at me, he knew that over time, with enough investment and training and teaching, that I would become more over time. That I might actually be capable of contributing to his business and doing renovations. For those of you who know my story, that was day one of what turned into over 5 years of working in carpentry. I went on to get my journeyman as a carpenter and have built many houses, renovated kitchens and bathrooms and all sorts of things. And I do, in fact, know what drywall is at this point. But this guy worked with me to teach me what drywall was and how to attach it to a wall and different techniques for that. He taught me how to mud and tape. He taught me about different tools and how to use them safely and how to show up at a job site and take it from demolition to completion. And in all of this, I am indebted to him and his belief in me and his willingness to kind of take me on as a type of project. And perhaps you've had those similar types of experiences in your own life. Someone who looks at you and sees where you're at. And maybe for lots of reasons, they maybe shouldn't believe in you, but they take a chance. Or they look at you and they say, you know what? Yeah, I actually believe this person can become more. I believe that with enough investment and work, we could see some really good things happen here. You know, as I was reflecting on our passage this morning, it really struck me that that's actually the way that God looks at us. That when God looks at you and he looks at me, he sees me in a certain state. He sees me maybe in my sin. He sees me perhaps in my brokenness. He sees me maybe feeling disoriented or lost or struggling or whatever it is. And he believes that I can become more. He believes that he can do a work in me, that I can become the type of person that he desires me to be. And when God looks at each and every one of you, that's his heart for you as well. God believes that by the work of his Spirit in your life, you can become more the person that he desires you to be. Whether you are old or young, whether you are inexperienced or unlearned, whether you feel unworthy or perhaps arrogant, he looks at each of us and invites us to come and follow him, to become more, to become more like him. We've been in a series in the book of Hebrews, and the author of Hebrews is writing to a group of Christians who are likely facing persecution. And he keeps painting these beautiful pictures and teaching them about who Jesus is. And I believe his hope in writing about who Jesus is to encourage this congregation, to fill them with faith, to help them as they navigate various struggles in life. He's writing to them to help them that as they go through difficulty, they can become more and not less. But as he gets to the end here of chapter 5, he pauses. And he points out that in this desire for them to become more, he's hitting a bit of a roadblock. And he sees in the life of this young church these obstacles, these things that are actually keeping them from becoming more of the people who the author believes that God is calling them to be. And I think it's the same in our own lives. We desire to become more. We desire to grow. But sometimes there's things that are getting in the way. And the author of Hebrews highlights four different obstacles to maturity that I want to unpack for us. And then he encourages them to press on towards maturity. So let's unpack this text together. The first sign of immaturity is apathy. He begins, well, it's hard to make clear to you because you are no longer trying to understand. This translation, you're no longer trying to understand, is a little bit kind. In the NLT or the ESV, it uses the word dull. You've grown dull. Eugene Peterson in The Message says that you have developed a bad habit of not listening. The author here is calling them out for being careless or lazy in their relationship to Jesus, or careless or lazy in relationship to maturing in Christ. He's looking at them and he's saying, you guys just don't seem to care anymore. And he's pointing that out as a problem. He says, you're not listening anymore to the Father. Now, this is a big problem when we consider the context of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1 begins by telling us that God is one who is speaking. He's actively communicating to us. He's calling us to a particular type of life. Commentator William Lane writes that the development of a hearing problem is a dangerous condition for a company of men and women who have been called to obey God. If God is calling you to things and you're not even willing to listen, that's a big problem. So he says, friends, you're immature. You've grown apathetic. And he goes on to say, in fact, though at this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. Second sign of immaturity is this inability to teach. Now here he's not talking about them becoming pastors or educators in a formal sense, but rather it's the capacity to be able to teach or pass on information. You know, it's the picture of someone helping someone else work out a recipe in the kitchen, or two tradesmen on a job site working together, one teaching the other how to do a particular task. It's the concept of a transfer of knowledge. And the author is saying, guys, you can't even transfer knowledge from one person to another about the gospel. And this is a big problem when you consider the thrust of our discipleship to Jesus. When Jesus ascends into heaven, the great commission before he goes is that we would go into the world and teach, make disciples of all nations. The author of Hebrews saying, friends, you're immature. You're not even able to teach others. And he expands on this to the third sign of immaturity, that they're stuck in the basics. He said, you need milk, not solid food. This metaphor is quite comical when you think about it. This idea of, you know, I'd love to give you more. I'd love to tell you more. I'd love to grow on what we've been teaching here, but I can't. You need me to go backwards, not forwards. This is a really strong rebuke to this young church. The context is interesting for us in Hebrews chapter 5, because he's been teaching on the priesthood of Jesus. And Hebrews chapter 5, verse 10, he says, and was designated by God to be the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. He wants to go on to talk about Melchizedek, which he will do in chapter 7. But here he has to pause. They're not ready for it. They should have moved on now to greater understanding. They should have moved on at this point to greater and deeper application, but they can't because they are stuck, because they're immature. What I love about this picture, though, is it illustrates to me that God has an amazing feast waiting for us. That on this journey to becoming more the people who God has called us to be, he has good things in store. And he's saying, why are you going after the milk when there's this amazing feast waiting for you? Why are you sticking to the basics when there's something so much better off to the other side? I have this memory. My wife and I did the Daniel fast several years ago. I don't know if any of you know what that is. It's just a very restricted diet that's kind of coupled with prayerfulness and these types of things. And during that time, we had friends of ours invite us over for supper. And we didn't want to say no to the invitation, so we said, we'd love to come, but we're going to bring our own food. And so they were having a barbecue, and so we came. And I'm watching as they're preparing these homemade burgers. And these things are like massive and beautiful and like, oh, those look good. And, you know, he's throwing them on the grill. And I have these little things that they're like kind of like veggie burgers, but not really veggie burgers. And I was like, yeah, if you could warm these up on the grill, that'd be great. And he throws them on the grill and warms them up. And then they're, you know, they're making their burgers. And my wife and I have these like little veggie burger things. Anyway, But I just remember sitting there eating together, and you know, the fellowship's great and everything, but I'm sitting there eating this little veggie burger, and I'm like, man, I want that. I want that. You know, I think about our life with God and all the goodness that he has for us. And it's almost like we're keeping ourselves with this like dinky little veggie burger. And he's like, come on, guys, like, I got a feast over here for you. I got something so much better. Why are you stuck on milk when I've got solid food over here? It's a sign of immaturity. And he goes on, the outworking of that type of immaturity is a confusion about righteousness. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. This phrase, not acquainted, it speaks to a lack of skill or experience regarding righteousness. And so this reality that as you live on milk and not solid food, sometimes we think about milk and solid food in the scriptural metaphor that it's just all about like knowledge, right? That milk is a lesser knowledge and solid food is a greater knowledge. And there's a layer of that. But in the New Testament, whenever it talks about knowledge, it's always thinking on two planes, that both knowledge is something that is our thinking and the ways we think about things, but it's also experiential and the way things that are lived out. And so milk versus solid food, it's not just knowledge, but it's also the ability to live out the truth of God's word. So if you're confused about righteousness because you're living on milk, it's like God has called you to a particular way of living, but you're unable to live in the ways of God. Why? Because you're living on milk, not the solid food. You aren't applying even the very basics of what you know. But to live in righteousness means to live in a way that your life reflects alignment with the purpose and the heart of God. And as we live that way, aligned with the purpose and the heart of God, it produces greater peace and deeper joy in our lives. But moving to that greater peace and that deeper joy is a mark of maturity. Because if we're living on milk and we're stuck on milk, we're unable to discern what is good and what is evil. And so we might find ourselves living in evil almost mistakenly, not intentionally, missing out on the things that God has for us. Excuse me, this is my water over here. The whole staff have gotten sick this past week. And so the author of Hebrews here is highlighting these marks of immaturity, apathy, an inability to teach, being stuck in the basics, confused about righteousness. Do you see yourself in any of these? When you consider these verses before you at the end of chapter 5, do any of these relate to you? This text confronts us. It calls us to examine our own hearts and ask questions of ourselves. Am I apathetic in regards to my maturity in Christ? Is my heart posture towards Jesus such that I don't really care to grow? Have I closed my heart off to his instruction? Is my apathy towards my maturity in Christ such that I've compartmentalized my faith, that Jesus is great on Sundays and reading my Bible is great on Sundays, but, you know, he doesn't really need to be a part of the rest of my week? Am I able to teach or able to do what Jesus has even commanded me to do? And am I doing it? Does my life reflect a life of righteousness? Have I postured myself consistently before Jesus and his word that I'm able to proclaim the gospel in word and deed? Am I continuing to learn and grow in my understanding of the gospel? Am I applying God's word to my life and living it out? Does my life reflect righteousness? Do I walk as a disciple of Jesus ought to? And if other people were looking at my life, would they say that it reflects the life of Jesus? Friends, these can be difficult, yet really important questions. And I believe what the author of Hebrews is doing here at the end of chapter 5 is he's calling them out. He's saying, guys, God wants you to experience more. He wants you to become more the type of people that he wants you to be. But it's not going to happen unless you partner with him towards that end. God is not going to zap us into the conformity of Jesus. God is not going to wave his hand over our lives and suddenly we just become the type of people he wants us to be. But it's over time, as we do our lives with Jesus, as we look to Jesus, that we become the people that he has purposed us for. So the author goes from kind of this rebuke and he transitions to this invitation. Let us move forward to maturity. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity. What a beautiful invitation. Now, do you know what I love about this? He's inviting them to start where they're at. Yes, he brings them this rebuke, but he's saying, recognize this lack of maturity. You see this lack of maturity in your life, but let's grow up. Let's move beyond it. Let's begin moving towards being more the type of people that God has called us to be. Let us leave behind our immaturity and step into maturity. He's putting the choice before them. And he's saying, let's do this. Let's leave the maturity behind and step into maturity. So how do we do that? I want to just kind of work our way backwards through the signs of immaturity and look at those kind of, if those are signs of immaturity, what are signs of maturity and how do we move into those? I think the first is really simple. It's just love Jesus. Love Jesus. Resist apathy with love. The opposite of apathy is passion. You think about the greatest commandment that Jesus gives us in the New Testament, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength. Give your all to Jesus. Don't be apathetic about it. But love him. Friends, this is the basic task of a disciple, is to be with Jesus. To love Jesus. To be committed to Jesus. And I think so many of us, we don't move into maturity because we're apathetic about Jesus and maybe we don't love him the ways that we ought to. We need to ask ourselves that question, do I love Jesus the way that I'm supposed to? And there's this reality that our lives are constantly being bombarded with all sorts of invitations to love all sorts of different things. That our love for Jesus is easily crowded out. But friends, we cannot move into maturity and into the life that God has called us to if we aren't loving Jesus. If we're putting other loves before him, it's going to stunt our growth. So we love him. We spend time with him. We're quick to pray. We're quick to reflect on Jesus in the Gospels. Learn more about him. And as we love him, as we spend time with him, we learn from him. It's the second piece. Learn from Jesus. So we open God's word and study it. And maybe as we journey through life, we're just faced with all sorts of questions and doubts and confusion. Well, we can bring all of those back to Jesus and to his word. And as we do that, we can meet him in his word and learn from him. And here I want to emphasize again this idea of starting where you are at when it comes to learning. Because I find it interesting that the author of Hebrews, while he's saying that they should be on solid food, he's saying you're on milk. Some of you are on milk, and that's okay. Some of you are on milk, and that's okay. Sometimes that's just where we need to start. And so we can start with where we are at. The author goes on to talk about some of these elementary principles. It says, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God. Instruction about cleansing rites. There's a footnote in your Bible. The Greek there is simply the word baptisms and the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. He's saying these are kind of the core, the basic elementary principles of our life with God. Repentance, which is saying, God, I want your way, not my way. Turning from our way of life and living God's way. Faith is just the belief of who God is. Trusting, even though we can't see him, believing that he sits on the throne and that he is calling us to a particular life, that he created us and loves us. The cleansing rites and the laying on of hands speak to this, the participation in the faith community where we have baptism, this profession of faith in God, as well as entering into the faith community, and then the laying on of hands and praying for the Holy Spirit. The resurrection of the dead and the eternal judgment, this idea that the resurrection is so core to who we are as Christians, and the belief that Jesus resurrected from the dead and that he is the first fruits of that. And this knowledge that our time here on earth is not the end of the story, but there is an eternal judgment, an eternity in life with God available to us. He's saying these are the basic things. Learn them. This is the milk. Study them. Become familiar with it. Learn from Jesus about these things so that you can move on to maturity. And as we learn these things, we move to the next piece, we can live like Jesus. As we come to understand who Jesus is and the life that he's called us to, we live the way that he has called us to live. This is where we apply God's word to our lives. We live out the things that he has called us to. We do the things that Jesus would do if he were us. And then finally, we can love like Jesus. Love like Jesus. I like in the text where he says that you ought to be teachers, but you're not. It's just in this sense where it's like there's a part of our life with Christ where we're meant to always be on mission, telling other people about Jesus, spreading the message of the gospel. I think such a profound sign of maturity is when we become those types of teachers, people who are actively sharing the message of Jesus to friends and families and coworkers. And it's such a sign of maturity. We live in a time where many do not know who Jesus is. Many don't know what Jesus has done for them. Now, this doesn't mean that you'll stand on a platform and preach on a Sunday morning or have some sort of formal teaching role in various contexts. But each one of us has an opportunity to teach, that is to share Jesus with those around us. But we can't do that if we don't know what we're talking about. We can't do that if we ourselves don't understand the truth about Jesus. And I'm excited for next week, Easter Sunday, where we will come together and celebrate the heart of this gospel message and continue to immerse ourselves in the truth of God's word. And then finally, the text compels us to also trust Jesus' work in us. Well, the author of Hebrews highlights that there's a role that we have to play in becoming the types of people that God has called us to do. Here at the end of this section in verse 3, he recognizes that there's also the reality that God is working in us, that he has a role to play too. And God permitting, we will do so. God permitting, we will become more the people he wants us to be. We will mature. Friends, as I said at the beginning, God is interested in us becoming more. He's interested in us growing. He's interested in us looking more like his son, Jesus. And he wants to do that work in us. And I think it's easy for us to get frustrated or impatient It's easy to feel like we should be more mature than we are. It's easy to beat ourselves up for not being more evangelistic or not living out the practices of Jesus the way that we know that we ought to. But this verse here, I believe, reminds us and invites us to be patient and to trust in God's work in us and to trust that as we commit ourselves to love Jesus, to learn from Jesus, to live like Jesus and love like him, that over time we will experience his work in our lives and that we will move towards the maturity that God desires for us. So I don't know how you hear this morning. Perhaps you're new to faith or maybe just checking out faith or God. Welcome. God desires to do a work in you. He loves you. He cares about you. He's invested in you, whether or not you love him, care about him, or are invested in him. He desires to see us grow. He desires to take us to places we could only imagine. And perhaps you want to respond to his work in your life, even this morning, and just say yes to him. Or maybe this morning you're hearing this and you've been around church for a long time, and the end of chapter 5 is a little too relatable for you. It feels a little uncomfortable. You think about your own apathy. That's good. Trust that that's the Holy Spirit tapping you on the shoulder this morning and inviting you to start where you're at and invest a little bit more in loving and learning, becoming more like Jesus and loving like him. God desires for us to grow. He desires to see that we become more. I should invite you to take a prayerful posture. I'm going to invite the worship team to join me on the platform. Let's just pray. Let's pray together. Yeah, Father God, we thank you so much for your love for us, your investment in us. God, we thank you that you desire to see us change and become more like your son. But Father, we recognize that it is easy for us to become apathetic, to be lazy in our relationship with you. Lord, we confess that it's easy to fall behind and to find ourselves maybe unfamiliar with righteousness, not living the way that you've called us to. So Lord, even in this moment, maybe some of us just need to come and say that we're sorry. So Lord, we do. Lord, forgive us for our apathy. Forgive us for not loving you and learning from you the ways that we ought to. Forgive us for not applying your word to our lives as we should. But Jesus, we want to trust in your work in us. Help us to do that. So we just invite you, Holy Spirit, to lead us on towards maturity. We trust in you, Holy Spirit, to help us to be the types of people who love Jesus well, who are learning from him intentionally. Lord, help us to become more like Jesus, we pray. Amen.